Good morning, friends. How are you guys doing? Good. Sarah texted me yesterday afternoon, and our sweet friend Allison is not well. So please be praying for her. And she's not able to make it this morning. And so she texted me and said, would you be willing to teach? And immediately in my flesh, I was like, no ways. I love planning. I love preparing. I want to marinate in what I'm going to talk about. And I felt the Lord say to me, you need to say yes. And so I did, trusting that after my obedience, he would actually give me something to talk about. And he did. And so I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. And I'm going to have you turn to the passage that we're studying. And that's 1 Thessalonians 2. Hold on one second. I'm just going to read these first five verses for us. So it says here, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So as I was reading that, I immediately felt the Lord highlight the boldness of Paul, and that he said from the very beginning, he was there, they were there to please God and not man. And the Lord said to me, I want you to teach on the fear of man. And so that is what I'm going to today. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And again, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't those incredible, wonderful promises we have in the Lord? That no matter where we go, that he will never forsake us. And I love how it says, do not be afraid of them, for I will go with you, the Lord says to us. As we dive into this, I wanted to give you a little bit of historical background of 1 Thessalonians and what was actually going on at that time. So in Acts 17 and a little bit before 16 as well, we can read about Paul and Silas preaching in Thessalonica. Paul went into the synagogues and he started reasoning with them, showing them from the Old Testament where they would find these promises of the Messiah. And as he pulled out all these scriptures, these incredible men who'd been studying for years, and it even says in Acts 17, that women as well, it says that multitudes were convinced that Jesus was the Christ. And so this incredible unveiling is going on of scripture, and the Jews start to get very, very jealous of Paul. Perhaps they may have been intimidated by him, or perhaps things weren't going exactly the way that they thought they were meant to go. And so they began to trouble the crowd, and they start to cause confusion amongst all these people and telling the people that Paul is preaching against Caesar. So everyone gets caught up in fear. Oh no, what is Caesar going to do? And scripture says the entire city was in chaos. And so they start to hunt Paul and them down. Paul manages to escape, and they leave because of this fearful uproar. And they head on out to Berea. So as I was thinking about this, I just thought, can you not see the plan of the enemy working in confusion? I mean, how many of you guys know the moment there's a lack of peace and confusion, you know who the author of all of that is? You guys, we have to start to judge in our hearts. Immediately, we need to start recognizing those things. We mustn't buy into the lie, but the moment you see this confusion and this chaos, know it's the enemy. Those things are not of the Lord. It's almost like a deal breaker for me sometimes when I need to know where I'm supposed to step into a situation. It just is like, Lord, there's no peace here. And then I know this is not from the Lord. And so this is what happened. So Paul and Silas escaped to Berea in the middle of the night. And as soon as they get there, the Bereans are described as being open. They receive the word of God with all readiness. And daily they're searching the scriptures and lining the scriptures up to see if what Paul said was true. Of course, they find out that it is. But immediately again, the Jewish people catching wind of this chase them all the way to Berea, and they go up and the same thing happens again, and they cause up dissension. What is Caesar going to say? Oh no, we're gonna be persecuted by Caesar. And they cause this massive chaos in Berea also. Again, Paul is forced to leave, and although the response from the people prevented him from staying, we know full well that the work of the Lord continued, which is incredible. Acts 16, by the way, the premise before this, tells us that right before the trip to Thessalonica, that Paul and his friends were in Philippi, and they had already been stripped down in front of everyone, beaten with rods, received, the Bible says, many stripes. Oh, and then to top it all, thrown into prison. And not just any prison like the prisons we have here that have TVs in and catered meals. We're talking about a dark, deep dungeon with their feet bound in stocks, which means all night long, you're not moving a muscle. You can't find a comfy spot. You're bound as you are. And so, what was their response? Does anybody know? They sang. They sang in their darkest, darkest prison. I love that, with songs, and it says, and they prayed. And we know from scripture that the jail shook and they were set free, right? But what struck me again is that when we look again at verse 2, when Paul's speaking to the Thessalonians, he says, but even after we had suffered before and we were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were still bold. Even after all of the suffering, we still got up and we spoke the word of God to you, even in much conflict. But as we have been proved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, and like I said earlier on, even so we speak, not as pleasing to man, but as pleasing to God. And so I wanted to just pause for a moment and just think through the character of Paul and his team who feared God and pressed through all the persecution that sang in the prisons and kept on going with joy and boldness in their hearts versus those who were afraid of Caesar. How many of us tend to fear those that are above us or whatever it is, the pressures, the outside pressures, and we give in to the mob or to the crowd? Instead, Paul and them were led by the Holy Spirit, were filled with all boldness, and despite all the hindrances that came against them, there they were in prison singing a song. How many of us need the songs in the prisons that we might find ourselves in our deepest battle of fears? How many of us need God to give us a song in those places? Perhaps we're stuck in our traditions like some of the Jewish people were, or the things that we're comfortable with. We don't like the changes that are going on. It's not what we wanted them to be. Are any of us like that? Perhaps sometimes our pastors or our leaders want to lead us somewhere different, and it's like, well, it's different. Jeremy's mom and dad pastor a church, and I'm sure it's happened here as well in Indiana. And with all the growth, like Steve has said many times, growing things change and changing things grow. So what are we gonna do? Get stuck with what's comfortable? They didn't like the way that Jesus was being presented to them because it didn't line up with their ideas. It lined up perfectly with scripture, but it was their things that they didn't want to adjust their ideas of things. And when I'm saying this, I'm including myself in all of these things. I want you to know, this is a charge to me. Sometimes I think that when the Lord wants us to teach a message, it's really because I need to hear it. So I'm just the tool this morning, but this message is also for me. So their response to Paul was that they hardened their hearts. In Isaiah 35, verse 12 to 13, it says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear, mere mortals, human beings that are but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker, who stretches out the heavens and who lays the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day? Doesn't that sound like our society, living in constant terror every day? How has the fear of man, perhaps even our closest friends or family members, the things that we get stuck because of what they might think of us, or the fear of what our husband thinks about us, how those things crept into our lives. Whose approval do we look for the most? I loved what Deanna shared last week about God being our first love. Where's the place our mind and our hearts are drawn to first? Is it the Lord? Or is it what everybody else thinks of us? Are we the angry mob to our friends when they're stepping out into something new? Recently, my daughter, she's amazing. She's 13 this weekend. I can't even believe it. And she auditioned for a role, and they're doing the theater company is doing Oliver, and so she was going to audition for a boy role because there aren't any girl roles in Oliver. It's a story about orphaned boys. And I was like, are you sure you want to do that? You know, here I am thinking, what are they going to think of her? What are they going to think of her when she gets up there? And let me just tell you, she got up there and I learned such a lesson. She was so brave and so bold, and she kicked butt, you guys. I mean, I'm serious. She really did. And I'm not just saying that because I'm her mom. She did such a good job. And even the theater, one of the ladies came up to her afterwards and just said, man, your daughter can act. She didn't get the role because there was one other little boy who appropriately probably should have got it instead of her. But I was so proud of her, and I pulled her aside afterwards and I just said, honey, I'm so sorry. Because I said to her, are you sure you want to do that? And I just said, I'm sorry I even doubted you. I see that the Lord has gifted you in this. And so I just want to encourage you, when you feel that, go for it. But how many times do we do that with our friends? Because I'll be honest, my thought was, what are they going to think of her? It's a fear of man. And here I am stopping my daughter from stepping into the fullness of what God has for her. How are we like that with our husbands? What are they going to think of him when he does that? Or how are we like that with really anybody, our friends, you know? There was a quote that I read that says, the fear of man can immobilize us when we should take action and gag us into silence when we should speak. So I'll just say that again. The fear of man can immobilize us when we should take action or gag us into silence when we should speak. Sounds just, obviously we have it backwards, right? I know sometimes that's definitely been the case with me. And I pray, there's times where I knew that I did the wrong thing and I've honestly just prayed, Lord, forgive me. Give me another opportunity, Lord. Give me another chance. And he does. In Matthew 10, verse 28, it says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And we know that that's God alone. Rather be afraid of God. Don't be afraid of the one that can only kill our flesh. Listen, moms, and I'm saying this again to myself, if your kids want to go into full-time missions, you get on your knees and you pray for them. You let them go. You let them go. Enough of us building our kingdoms here. I'm guilty, so guilty. When we need to step into the times where we're supposed to be bold, we're hiding. Ah, sweet Angela, where are you? Angela Ward, what did you share this morning that the Lord spoke to you? I want to quote you, but. But we're spiritually, yes. So Angela shared a word this morning. We're so addicted to being busy, and yet we're so lazy in our spiritual man, basically. We're so busy on the outside, so all of these things. And yet, what are we doing spiritually? Do not be afraid of the one that kills the flesh, but the one who cares about the soul and the spirit. As the message says, save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, your body, and your soul in his hands. Let him be the one that protects us. Acts 5, verse 29, again, when Peter and the apostles were on trial again for preaching, they responded, we must obey God rather than man. They basically asked them, why do you keep doing this? And they just said, we have to obey God, not man. Obedience calls for us to have courage. Courage doesn't mean the absence of fear, but the resolve to be obedient regardless of what we feel. That was a lesson even for me yesterday. It's uncomfortable, right? But I knew that the Lord said, just do it. And I thought, okay, Lord, I know you're going to give me a message. And he did. And I think there's so many times in our life that it doesn't mean, courage doesn't mean that you don't feel afraid. It means you step out regardless of those things. And sometimes we have to exercise our trust in who God is and not who we are. And Romans 8:31 tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? In Hebrews 13, verse 5-6, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I know sometimes a great obstacle for many of us when it comes to stepping out into the next level is the fear of rejection. All kinds of thoughts enter into our mind. What people might think, what might they say? What if we want to do it differently from the way that they did it? We might make a mistake. What if people criticize me? And so we get all locked up and we just kind of stay stagnant where we are. The Lord showed me for years that a struggle for me has been desiring approval, especially in friendships, and especially when I was a lot younger as well. I'm so thankful for just the growth that as long as you walk with the Holy Spirit, he pulls and weeds those things out of you. But I definitely was someone that just craved approval, especially in relationships. That was, if I was valuable to you, then it made me valuable. And believe it or not, I was raised in South Africa. And when I was 19, I was in a rock band. And let me paint a little picture for you. It was not just a rock band like, yeah, loud music, guitars. I toured with guys who you would... Like the like, rah, 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 those guys, okay. And I, being a girl, had to compete with those people. And so it's funny because a lot of people would meet me before stage and be like, oh my gosh, you're so sweet. Huh, that's weird. Because then I would get up on stage and just go absolutely nuts. But this is why it was easy for me. It was the place I was approved of. If I could see a need and fill it, it made me valuable. So all I knew I had to do is get up on stage, leave my heart bleeding up there, which is fine, we'll do that, and pour my heart and soul into this and just make sure that I was just as strong or convincing as any of the guys that I toured with. So any level of strength that they put out, I saw the need and I thought, okay, well, that makes me valuable so I can morph into what it is that you need me to be. I wish I could show you a picture, actually. I used to have a mohawk sometimes. I had black hair, all of it. Anyway, it was easy for me because that's where I sought my security from. It was afraid, it's backwards, it's fear of not being accepted. And so then it's, I will morph into whatever it is that you need me to be. But then that flows into relationships. Whatever you need me to be, I can be that for you. I'll morph into it, it's okay. And I was so glad that when I finally met my husband, we were touring together on the road, and I was the rock, artsy rock chick, and he was not that at all, total jock, worked out, and I was like, ugh, gross, you know. I wanted somebody that would like sit and read books with me and paint Picasso and whatever it was. Anyway, so I was not into Jeremy at all, and he was not into me, which now in hindsight, I'm really thankful for, because where I was emotionally, had I known that he was the one, I probably would have morphed into what I thought that he wanted me to be. And I probably would have completely overthought it and messed the whole thing up. And so the Lord, in a sense, I see how he protected me from even thinking like that, because I just was totally myself. And Jeremy and I ended up becoming best friends. And then the rest is history, you know. But I just, as I was just studying for this and asking the Lord, I was just asking the Lord to show me, Lord, where has fear of man crept into my own heart? Where are times when I had those things governing the way that I thought through things? And I'm sad to say, I still see things, you know? And I hope that all of you guys are honest too and just start thinking, I still see that sometimes the decisions I make are based on whether or not I'm going to be criticized for them. I wonder what people are thinking. What if they don't like that we do this? You know, I remember when we moved, we used to live in Indiana, we moved down here, and it was really hard for Jeremy's family. They didn't want us to go, but we knew we had to go, you know? And I'm so thankful that we did, because the growth that took took place was incredible, you know? And so when we get bound by fear, we miss out on all those things that the Lord has for us. When we look back at the scripture, we can see how the Thessalonians first responded to Paul and ask ourselves, how do we respond to the Lord? In chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "When the church at Thessalonica heard the word, they welcomed it, not as coming from men, but taking it as the truth, coming from the Lord's heart to ours. And they became imitators," it says, "of those who follow Christ," which of course they're following Christ himself, "and they became willing to suffer for Christ, no matter what others thought of them and no matter what others said." They became willing to suffer for Christ no matter what. That there wasn't a line that they cut off in their heart. I loved what I think it was Lou Engle, somebody recently was just basically saying, if you've already decided where that line is, you're not going to be able to survive spiritually. You know, you need to know that there isn't a line when it comes to what you're willing to suffer for Christ, what you're willing to put up for him. We need to fear him again above fearing man. Because who do we get our marching orders from anyway, right? It should be the Lord. A few years ago, the Lord laid it on some missionary friends of ours. They lived in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, and had ministered there for a long time. And they felt that with a lot of the extremists uprising that was happening, the door was closing very quickly for them to share the gospel. And they just knew that it's now or never kind of thing. And so they asked Jeremy if he'd be willing to go over there and share. And we prayed a lot about it. There was a lot of struggle leading up to it, but we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were supposed to go. And I mean, the Lord confirmed it through so much prayer and everything like that, visions. I mean, it was incredible. But it was ironic, the day that Jeremy landed in Bishkek, CBN published an article on how it was almost impossible to share openly about Jesus, and how doing so, you could get beaten, arrested, or killed. This is the day that he lands. The show that they had planned, the concert, was an outreach, basically in a huge public stadium. And so it wasn't a quiet, like under the radar, hey, we'll meet at the Bible study at 6 a.m., shh, don't tell anybody. It was his face plastered everywhere. Come to this event, we want you here. And so we knew, you know, there's this article that's being published going, okay, this could potentially cost you your life, you could be imprisoned, you could be beaten. But again, we just knew this is what the Lord has called us to do. And so leading up to the event, they had a youth night, just prayer and a time of worship. And at one point they opened up the altar and dozens of kids and adults as well just came forward, just weeping and weeping and weeping. Basically just saying, we're so in fear. We're so afraid to share the gospel. We have no light. They're not shining their light or influencing anybody. We're so afraid that people will find out that we're Christians. And Jeremy called me after that and he was weeping himself. And he just said to me, he goes, I can't do this. He goes, the weight of what I feel right now, I can't do it. He goes, I can barely breathe. He felt the weight of the fear. He said, it's like a thick blanket choking me out. And he's bawling on the other side. And I know it was the Holy Spirit, but I just started preaching to him. And I was like, this is not about you. This is what Jesus can do in you. It's not about whether you can handle it or not, but Christ has called you for such a time as this. And I know, and I'll tell you why I knew in a minute, but I knew that God had called Jeremy to be there to declare the gospel. So fast forward, he did realize this isn't about me. And that was sort of him just coming to the end of himself, realizing, Lord, anything that I do right now is of you. But what was happened was absolutely incredible. So warnings were literally going out on the news telling people, do not come. This is provocative in nature. The former KGB, the security, were all there, making sure nobody was handing out any religious flyers, pamphlets whatsoever, nothing at all. At one point, they threatened, we're canceling the show. You're not allowed to do this at all. And then they came back, and we're all praying while this is all happening. They came back and said, okay, you can move forward with the show, but you may only sing. You're not allowed to speak a word about Jesus. You're not allowed to at all give an altar call or whatever it is. And then they also said, if any one of you does say anything, it has to be our local people, Well, what we found out afterwards is that they were also threatening those local pastors that if they did speak, they would be thrown into prison. So it was a control thing. We're telling you, you can't do it. These people can, but because we can actually do something about it. And so anyway, so again, we're just moving forward as we can. So I just said to Jeremy, who cares if you can't say anything? Your songs are all about Jesus is the way. Just get up there and go for it, you know? It's so cool because we have a picture of Jeremy and he has this bodyguard behind him. And as he's walking up on the stage, he just has this peaceful, sweet look on his face. And his bodyguard behind him is just terrified. And he said right before he went out, the guy grabbed his hand and put it on his chest and his heart was pounding like this, you know? And Jeremy said at one point, he just stood up there and he just thought, Lord, anything could happen right now. And a side story, as I didn't tell you, someone else actually did threaten as well. They went up and said to him, we could snipe you right now. This is all happening before he gets up, but knowing full well, Lord, you've called me to do this. I'm stepping out because of you. He steps out there. There was massive thunderstorms predicted. I'm not making this up, I promise you. During the show, all the clouds surrounded and there was just this open sky above them, blue sky, while the clouds surrounded the whole entire stadium. I mean, just thing after thing after thing. And so Pasha, who was the local pastor, decided that he was the one that was going to give, he wasn't allowed to give a gospel message, but just an invitation. If you want to know more about what happened tonight, come and speak to us afterwards. Knowing full well, he had a wife and kids, that he could be imprisoned for it. But he said, if Jeremy can do it, so can I. How many times, you guys, when we step out in faith and others around us see the Lord filling us with boldness, how much it inspires other people. I know there have been many people in my life that by their bold steps forward, I've been so inspired by their lives. I now have to find where I am. Oh, yes, boldness. Okay, so in Malachi 3:16, I have read this verse because I've read my Bible all the way through numerous times, but I've never noticed it before. Malachi 3:16, it says this, it talks about a book of remembrance. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Actually, I'm just going to pause right there. Just for the sake of everybody in here, when scripture talks about the fear of the Lord, it's speaking about being in awe, consumed with a reverence of who God is. It's not this fear of like, oh my gosh, he's so terrifying. I mean, it is a little bit of that. But in the best of ways, does that make sense? It's not this, he's so unsafe, he's not going to protect me. It is when the Bible talks about fear, there's two fears. The fear of man, which is controlling, manipulative, brings nothing but chaos. And then the fear of God, that is a holiness, a knowledge, and an understanding of the fullness of who he is. Are we good with that? Okay, so Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was opened, and all the names of those who honored the Lord was written down, those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. I loved that. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I want my name written down in the book of remembrance, right? But I know in order to be that, I'm just going, Jesus, I need so much more boldness. In all the little places in my life that I'm afraid of being critiqued or afraid of what people might think of me, I need the Holy Spirit just to download a righteous fear of him and not anybody else. The more I know of Christ as well, the less afraid I am of other people, of man. It's like that scripture says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. What can man do to me? And again, it's like, don't fear the one that can kill the soul. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the soul. Just going, Jesus, what can man do to me? And the more I know Christ and the more that I know who I am in him, the less afraid I am of others. When the disciples were persecuted time and time again, their response was joyful. It was one of being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. It was an honor. And I asked myself, why? Why would it have been an honor? But it was because they knew him. They knew Jesus. They walked with him and they knew that he was no longer dead and in the grave. He was absolutely alive, and not only alive, but alive in them. And that same Jesus who was alive in the disciples is also alive in every one of us. When we walk to work, when we go everywhere, we get to walk in these extraordinary things that the disciples did. I said earlier on that I would tell you why it was that I knew that God had called Jeremy, because actually it was in that back corner over there. I was worshiping during probably a Sunday at some point and just really struggling with the Lord, because I knew it was unsafe for Jeremy. It was probably the first time. I mean, he travels all the time, but we had to have an actual realistic sit-down moment of like, we need to make sure we have a will. You know, and so we sat down, writing down our will, and I was here at church on Sunday just struggling, like, Lord, okay, Jesus, this is serious. You know, here he is going, it is provocative, you know, but we knew that God had called us to. I mean, weren't some of these disciples, the things that they were doing were provocative, but God was with them and they knew they had direct orders from him. And so I was praying over there, and all of a sudden the Lord gave me this vision of a lake, a huge, 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 huge lake. And all of a sudden, I see Jesus appearing just massively over the lake. And I stood there. I just stood there and I looked at him. And that was it. And it kind of bothered me, because I've always envisioned when Jesus comes back what I would do. And the very first thing I've always thought I would do is fall on my face and worship the Lord. And so the fact that in my dream, my position was just one of standing, really, I mean, in my vision, sorry, was just, it really bothered me. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I standing? Why am I not on my knees? And he said to me, the position of standing is on your knees. So physically, my position was to be on my knees, but I was standing supernaturally. And he said to me, this is a battle that's going to be on your knees. And it was immediately a promise, in a sense, that everything was gonna be okay, even though I didn't know it was gonna be okay. It was the promise that you might go through this, but I'm gonna be with you in it. Because how many of us know there's hard things that go on in our lives, and it's not a promise that those things are not going to happen, but a promise that he said to me, in humility, you will walk with me. As scripture says, humility is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. It's when we get on our knees and humble ourselves before him. And that's why when Jeremy's calling me freaking out, I could say to him, go. I give you freedom, because I've already walked out my fears with the Lord. I've figured all of this stuff out with him, and I can trust him that no matter what, he is going to be with us. And so in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 to 12, it says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's us. We're the fragile jars of clay that hold the treasure of the gospel, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. I think about how, as we lay our lives down for the Lord, his life works through us. And I don't mean lay our lives down as in final death. I mean on a daily basis, as we lay aside our fears and we choose to trust him no matter what our circumstances, that his life and his power is made manifest in these fragile jars of clay, which is us, right? And the opposite happens in the world when it comes to the fear of man is something that's so suffocating. We become so unable to do absolutely anything. And so I want to read this final thing that I found, just contrasting the fear of the man, fear of man versus the fear of the Lord. And it says this: fear of man tells us to shrink back, withhold, and run away. fear of the Lord tells us to move forward, enter in, and obey. Fear of man tells us to care about what others think. And fear of the Lord tells us to care only about what God thinks. How freeing is that? Fear of man tells us to do what makes others happy or even make ourselves happy. And fear of the Lord tells us to do what pleases him. Fear of man makes the approval of others an idol, where we choose to do things because we're seeking the approval of others. But fear of the Lord leads us to a life focused on his approval. Fear of man always leads us to the path of destruction, but fear of the Lord will lead us to the path of life, and not just regular life, abundant life. Fear of man is paralyzing, but fear of God is freeing and brings new life. I loved when they sang this morning, "You call me out upon the waters." And I just thought, how perfect. That's exactly what it is. There's this prayer for the Lord to call us out above the chaos and the fears of our lives, to call us out above the waters. And it says there, "Because I am yours and you are mine," that there is nothing else that matters but us being enthralled and in love with our Savior. When you step above your fears, when you know who you truly are in Christ, forgetting all the judgments and the criticism of everybody else, but knowing full well that you've been loved and accepted and cherished enough to die for. Can you imagine if I said, "I'll take your place, I'll die for you because I value you that much"? Well, that's happened. And I feel like sometimes in church, we're so familiar with some of these that we've lost the beauty, we've lost the fear of the Lord. We've just become so accustomed to the things that he's done for us that we've lost our awe and our reverence. I have. Raised in a Christian church all my life, been around amazing believers, sometimes just lost the beauty of the simplicity of what Jesus has done for me, and that absolutely nothing else matters but him. And so in closing, I want all of us just to stand together. And if you would, grab your neighbor's hand and even stretch across the aisles. I'm being bold to say, and presumptuous, that every one of us probably still struggle with fear in some degree. Fear of what other people think about us, fear of being persecuted, fear of sickness, which ultimately is just the opposite of the fear of man. And so all of us together, I'm gonna pray on all of our behalf, because I believe that we all need a supernatural download of boldness and for the Holy Spirit to refresh us in every area. When it comes to being bold enough to share our faith with others, you guys, we have the answer. We are the treasures. It's not about us. We've got to get ourselves out of the picture. It's not about what you can bring. It's being the jar of clay that holds the treasure of power within us. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you, Father. You are so much greater than we even give you credit for, Lord. You're infinite, Father. You're powerful. Lord, you're far, far more powerful than our enemy is evil, Lord Jesus. You are good. And so I just pray right now for every single one of my sisters. I just pray, Lord God, that every ounce of fear, Lord, the bondage that it has been, Lord, the places that each of my sisters might need deliverance, Lord God, even as Paul and Silas were in the prisons, Lord, and it was dark, and yet they sang. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give each and every one of these women a song for those dark places, Lord God, the things that hold us just in bondage, Lord God, in chains, Father, for fear. Lord, I just wanna say that I'm sorry for valuing the opinion of man over you, Lord God. I'm sorry, Jesus, for my thoughts being that that's where it goes first, that my eyes truly would be lifted to look to you and you only, Lord God, that we would delight ourselves in you, Lord Jesus, that what you think would be far more important to us than what our neighbors think, what our mothers or our fathers, our brothers or our sisters or our best friends, that you'd give each and every one of us, Lord, a Holy Spirit massively infused boldness, Father God. I pray for opportunities to share the gospel with those around us, Lord God. Give us boldness like you did the disciples, Jesus. We don't want boring, we don't want mundane, we want exceptional Christian lives, Lord God. We want the fullness of what you have for us, Lord God. So I pray for every one of my sisters. Jesus, I pray that where fear has robbed and sucked the life out of relationships, I just pray that you would so gently and beautifully breathe life back into those places. And Father, even as fear does, just prevent us from even taking a step forward. I pray that even now, Lord, as you told me, Lord, before you'd even given me a message, just to take the step forward of obedience, and that you would come through for me, Lord. That, Father, we take a step forward in obedience, not because we feel like it, not because our emotions are all there, Lord, but because we want more of you, because we recognize who you are, Lord Jesus. So we just pray this in your powerful name, Jesus. Minister to us. Set us free, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for saying yes, Amy.
So good. Thank you so much, Angel. Oh my God.
He's faithful. He was faithful to our buddy, 80. Okay, girls. Next week, we'll be getting into chapter 3, but I encourage you just to continue to read through the entirety of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Just make that your assignment every morning, to read a portion of the book and just get it seeped in you. And then when the teaching comes forth, what'll be really, really sweet and a wink from the Holy Spirit, I think, is you'll find, oh my gosh, he told me that. You know, and there'll be just this camaraderie in Christ as you read through. So bring a friend. Don't forget. It's open-ended. Always, always new opportunities to bring people. And we are trusting, and let's intercede for one another throughout this week, that the Holy Spirit would visit each one of us and give us the boldness to step out and be obedient. Our little buddy was obedient, and she was an example to us. So anyhow, we love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Every